Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, here we go on a Friday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you are doing well as we will take you into the weekend in fine fashion with a Reardon Roundtable. Let's say hi to Jane Duker this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mark.
We can't say hi to Sue. She's off for a few days.
Oh,
so
she'll
be
jealous.
Back on Wednesday. I know, I'm a little disappointed. We like having her here. And you've already declared that the past two Fridays, like right at 4:04 when we started the second hour, you brought some fun stuff. It really doesn't help the listeners at all because we're the only ones that get to do the taste test.
But we get to give them recommendations.
Right, but you didn't bring anything today?
No. So right. I'm going to have to reload on the weird food or something, but I'll get back on the program next time.
Excellent. Steve Butts is here, state representative. He's running for the Missouri State Senate. He was nice enough to take me to a Mizzou football game in an air-conditioned suite last week, which
and
was
we won.
Awesome.
Yay.
And we won, right?
52-10.
Whatever it was. We even stayed for most of the game,
was
which
was
kind of cool.
Team? No, yep. I'm teasing.
Well,
no.
They weren't. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah,
it wasn't
okay.
The toughest competition.
No,
doesn't
but
matter.
We're supposed to beat up on teams like that. So
yes.
Thanks for having me today, and thanks for going to the game.
And Steve's got his Cardinals gear on because he's going to the baseball game the last home weekend of the year. Greg Keller is here, Republican consultant, the founder of Atlas Strategy Group. Hello, Greg. How are you?
Hey, guys. Always great to see everyone.
And you're just back from D.C., I understand, too.
Just landed an hour ago.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Let me just kind of start here with a little juxtaposition with some audio on the Charlie Kirk, Jimmy Kimmel situation, but mostly here on Charlie. We'll get to Jimmy and all that stuff, but here's what AOC, who appears to be running for president, said.
Charlie Kirk's assassination was a horrific and vile attack. The majority proceeded with a resolution that brings great pain to the millions of Americans who endured segregation, Jim Crow, and the legacy of bigotry today. His rhetoric and beliefs were ignorant, uneducated, and sought to disenfranchise millions of Americans.
Well, somebody who lives in New York right now, who used to live in St. Louis, who is a Cardinal, not a former St. Louis baseball player, but Cardinal Dolan had something very different to say.
This guy's a modern-day St. Paul. He was a missionary. He's an evangelist. He's a hero. He's one, I think, that knew what Jesus meant when he said, the truth will set you free. And to do it, now, I understand he was pretty blunt and he was pretty direct. He didn't try to avoid any controversy. He didn't even try to avoid confrontation. The difference is the way, the mode, the style that he did it, always with respect. And not only was that a gracious kind of virtuous thing to do, it's effective. Because when your opponents see, this guy kind of respects me. We kind of disagree here, but he kind of enjoys me. And he's thanking me for being here. And he's telling me he appreciates the trust I have in him in sharing my views. I thought, this guy can teach us something.
That was quite something from Cardinal Dolan. Now, the narrative is very different than that from much of the left, Greg. We've seen this unfold. Again, we'll get to the Kimmel stuff now, but there are still a lot of people, and this even kind of came up on the St. Louis County Council with a similar resolution. These resolution things, to me, sometimes they get out there.
That was one of the reasons it went down. There was a Republican that voted against
it. All right, we'll get to that in a second,
yeah.
But let me get started with Keller here and the juxtaposition of the left and the right, just their view of Charlie Kirk. One thing I would say is if he said all these horrible things, and I know some of the things he said are controversial, and I think they've been taken out of context, but if, let's face it, if he said all these bigoted things that AOC is laying out, they'd be running nonstop on CNN for the last week, and they have not been.
Charlie was a prince of a person. We've been friends for quite some time, probably 15 years or so. You know, I would share three numbers with the panel. Number one, 42%. What is that? That's the percentage of liberal Americans who say that it is okay to do physical violence to your political opponents. Another number, 50%. That is the percent of liberal Americans, self-identified liberal Americans, who believe that it would be okay to do physical harm to Elon Musk. Third number, 60%. This is the number, the percentage of self-identified liberal American women, according to Pew, who have said that they have been diagnosed by a mental health professional with a mental disorder. And we have seen the fruits of this in the wake of Charlie Kirk's murder. The things, there is an incredible sickness amongst liberal Americans. And I know that I'm as partisan as they come, but I also believe that good people can disagree on important issues of politics. But having seen the way that the Democrat base has behaved over the course of the last week and the way that they have had such glee about this young Christian man being murdered on camera in front of his wife and children makes me, for the literally the first time in my life, seriously question whether or not we can live with people like this. It's been disgusting.
Okay, well, clearly, historically, yes, we can live with people like this because we must live with people like this. Mm-hmm. When it was an atrocious act, a heinous act, every murder. Stop. There's nothing else that needs to be said. When there was celebrating that this young man was murdered on live streaming everything in front of witnesses and his family, horrible, ridiculous. Anybody that says physical violence is okay to your political enemy, complete BS, absolutely not. Archbishop Cardinal Dolan's comments just then, yeah, it surprises me. I knew him 30 years ago pretty well when he was in St. Louis. I've listened to a lot of Charlie Kirk. I listened to his two-hour debate in Oxford. I recommend it. I think it's the way the British handled political debate.
Those are always interesting.
Way different from anything we do in the States.
It is.
And it's way different, really, than the way Charlie Kirk did stuff on political campuses. We don't do those two-hour debates with 10 minutes back and forth. All that being said, anybody that gives any credence to this kind of violence is ridiculous. On, not even to say on the other hand, I don't understand. Sure, this was a really famous person. It seems like the more famous you are and you get murdered, that's a big, big story. The couple kids that are in mass, you know, up in Minnesota just 3 weeks ago, we don't even know what their names are anymore. When the little kid that was shot.
That's the nature of what the media does.
To me, it says Charlie Kirk's life was worth more than all these other people's
lives. Well, that's not, I think it's different
than
that. Look, here's what, and Greg, we can all have a discussion about this, but here's one of the differences. Because we have an entire group of politicians and people, and I don't put both of you in this category, all right? But there have been people that have been telling Greg and I and people who believe in conservatism for 10 years now that we're fascists, that we're Nazis, that we're just like Hitler. It's disgusting. I mean, the thing to compare anything that's happening in this country, and Steve, you and I talked about this on the way to the football game last week. You want to say Benito Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, and Donald Trump are the same people?
Yeah, definitely.
Or even close. It's ridiculous. But so when you have that level of rhetoric from not only ordinary jamokes on Twitter and social media, but from the leaders of your party, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, the president. Of course they have.
No, Obama has not
said
that.
Oh, Jane.
I mean, get over it. I mean, now here's the thing.
We're a danger. Go. Let's go back to Hillary, the deplorables. This is all the same thing. You guys have no respect for anyone, your party, the leaders of your party, for anyone who disagrees with you on any of these issues. It's become very clear. And by the way, when a majority of the country disagrees with your party on many of these issues, they still don't care.
So when the liberals were enraged in cancel culture, and, you know, because I was on the other end of that, you know, happened to believe in police officers. So I was canceled. Every day, I got threatened with doxing. I had death threats. I had all just because I thought that, you should find out the facts before you determine that a cop should be sent to jail.
Right.
I mean, what a novel concept. And I denounced that then. And I warned then that if you act like this and you overplay your hand and you expect, you don't expect the same from your party that you expect of the other party as far as, you know, not breaking the law and not being criminals, that you're going to get a reaction. And the reaction has happened, and the pendulum has now swung back. But, and again, I will echo what Steve said. This murder is disgusting. And
You're aware of how many people are cheering it on.
Oh, I mean, they're doing it pretty publicly,
and they're not ashamed of it.
And I disagree with that. However, I mean, you can't stop what the liberals were doing after Michael Brown and hate that. And this is getting to the point now where, you know, it's becoming silencing on the other side. If you say anything about Charlie Kirk, you're going to lose your job. I mean, that is exactly what the liberals were
doing.
Well,
and I have, by the way, there's truth to that, Greg, and I'm not comfortable. That's another topic here.
It's just gotten too far.
Look, there are people who are being fired from their job, in my opinion, who deserve it. There are people in leadership, academia, the military, the Secret Service. We've seen some of these things highlighted. I'm not a fan of just going after people, putting their names and their profile pictures up on, you know, Twitter or wherever and trying to go after them. That's been a dynamic that I've been uncomfortable
with. And liberals
with.
Did it. And I'm not saying that they didn't. They did.
Well, and they go back. By the way, the difference is they go back 10 years and they try to do something that you did in high school or at your prom.
Yeah, I mean, the central question to me as to how we proceed as a society and a people is the number that I said earlier. In that poll, 42% of liberals said that it is okay to do physical harm to people who you disagree with politically. Do you know what the same number was for conservatives?
10.
9.
Well,
42 versus
who did
9.
The poll?
40. It's YouGov. It's like it's left leaning, if anything. So that to me is the central question. Now, when it comes to these cancellation things, there are some of them I like. In fact, I like most of them because I think employers, particularly, and let's be honest about where most of this is coming from. It's coming from Democrats who work in universities and for public schools. When you look at the people who are doing this, it is overwhelmingly educators and people with liberal arts degrees who are purple-haired freaks who are working in these institutions via taxpayer funds. And I believe that when taxpayer funds go to the University of Kentucky or wherever, when you have a dangerous, psychotic, purple-haired liberal...
I don't disagree with you,
by
the way.
...who says that she wants to kill all conservatives by virtue of the fact that they are conservatives, yeah, I think that crazy woman should lose her job.
Well, there's a distinction, and there have been some horrific things that have been caught on audio and video that I can't even believe, and then some of these people still defend themselves as well. But, Jane, I understand your point. People can still have an opinion and be respectful of what happened during the assassination. But you have the amount of people, it's horrifying, and I see this on the right sometimes too, but the amount of people that are just gleefully cheering this guy on and then misrepresenting the things that he stood for and that he was all about, I think is disgusting. And that's where we're going to get to Jimmy Kimmel in the next segment.
What I don't understand is, can we just stop talking about the personalities and talk about policy? I mean, that's where this all breaks down. If you follow the rule that we argue about policy and not personalities and people, then I do think that changes the discourse, I mean, exponentially. And I get
well. Then
Jane,
people on your side shouldn't call us bigoted, homophobes, transphobes,
and you
Nazis.
You won't call us baby killers. And the liberal hates America. And we're you know. I mean, it's the same nonsense.
I don't think it's the same. I know that there's a lot of.
It is. I mean, you calling people baby killers?
I'm not calling anybody baby killers.
Well, I think Greg makes a pretty big habit about calling all Democrats baby killers.
I think you guys And I think we, as a society, need to think very seriously. This is not partisan Greg. This is American Greg. There is a serious, serious mental illness problem. This is documented all over the place. It is now a matter of sociological fact that there is a serious mental health crisis amongst the base of your party. I'm as serious as a heart attack. And if we can't get this right, we have not been able to police it from our side. Are you guys going to be able to police it?
Well, we did. We got rid of Cori Bush. We got rid of Tashara Jones. We've gotten rid of the radical left. I mean,
you've gotten rid of...
Okay. I thought Cori Bush was a pretty
big
one.
Hang on. Hold your thoughts. We got to take a break. We're coming back. It's a Reardon Roundtable on a Friday with Jane Duker, Steve Butts, Greg Keller.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon. All right, let's talk about the story of this week, which is Jimmy Kimmel. And this is what he said on Monday night on his show that caught a lot of people's attention.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from.
So then you had the firestorm that ensued on Tuesday because of that. He went on the show on Tuesday night, made another joke that was not too popular with some people on the right. And then all of a sudden, right before I'm wrapping up my show the other night, just before Jimmy Kimmel is about to tape in Los Angeles at 4 p.m. Pacific time, it is announced that he will not have a show that night. He's been suspended indefinitely. Here's what the president said.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel was fired because he had bad ratings more than anything else. And he said a horrible thing about a great gentleman known as Charlie Kirk, and Jimmy Kimmel is not a talented person. He had very bad ratings, and they should have fired him a long time ago. So, you know, you can call that free speech or not. He was fired for lack of talent.
Okay, well, first of all, he had talent, all right? I'm just going to stipulate that. President Trump always likes to go no talent. Taylor Swift's got no talent. Bruce Springsteen, they have talent, all right? So let's get that out there. Now, the issue for me is the FCC. I mean, I've been honest about this, Keller. I don't know your position on this, but I can make a case that I am gleeful and so giddy that Jimmy Kimmel's gone and that he's finally going to get his comeuppance. And I think what happened was, and there was really good reporting in the Hollywood Reporter yesterday about how this kind of came together, because after Monday, there was what they referred to as a blank storm that occurred in social media. And then, you know, he kind of didn't apologize. And what happened was, is the next star in the Sinclair stations were saying, look, this does not represent our values. At the same time, Brendan Carr, the commissioner of the FCC, goes on Benny Johnson's podcast and basically says, you know, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. So if, Greg Keller, you had this same situation unfold here with Kimmel kind of being run out of the building and suspended, because what we learned in the Hollywood Reporter reporting yesterday is that they wanted to kind of see Bob Iger and the rest of them were not involved at the highest level until they were uncomfortable about what Kimmel would say on Tuesday night and how he would react, or on Wednesday night, I think at this point, how he would react. He was unwilling to apologize. So all of that in the ratings, it's a real issue. The revenue is a real issue. I don't like the FCC and the government getting involved in this, Greg, and that's kind of like full stop for me. I don't think it's defensible.
Well, I mean, first of all, the FCC is operating under existing U.S. law, which is the public interest standard. This was passed back in the 1930s, and it basically says that you are allowed to have a broadcast. You have no rights to these broadcasts. It is a privilege for you, this company, in order to have these kind of broadcast rights, and you have to be doing it in the public interest. Let's remind ourselves what Jimmy Kimmel did. Jimmy Kimmel went on TV, broadcast nationally, and knowingly told a disgusting lie, a blood libel against Republicans and conservatives to score cheap political points. When he said that, he knew it was already public that the emails, the text messages between this person and his transgender partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever you guys call them now, those were all public. Jimmy Kimmel.
I don't think they were public by Monday night.
They were public.
I don't think they were public by Monday night. They had that. Well, I'm just saying the news conference where he read all of the. I'll check on that. But I thought that was on Tuesday, and that comment came on Monday. But go ahead.
They were public. It was a known lie. It was disgusting. It was a blood libel. It was done for cheap political points. And all Brendan Carr did was remind the broadcasters of their responsibilities under U.S. law.
Censorship.
And here's the other thing, too. You know why he's off the air? He's off the air because the president was right about this. His ratings were trash. The local affiliates didn't want to carry him anymore because his numbers were trash. They weren't getting any revenue dollars out of the advertising. And everyone is revolting against this guy who is a communist. People in Evanston don't want to listen to that.
I'm going
to
presume.
I thought we weren't going to say fascist and communists anymore.
I never promised that.
I'm okay. Gonna. There you go. At least you're consistent there. So, you know, if the ratings are great and the advertising dollars are there, I'm sure he'd still be on there. That's certainly part of it. When you listen to what he said from Monday night, and I don't think he had those effects at the time, but it wasn't funny. And I got to think, if there were writers, don't you say, hey, this is not funny. But we were talking a little bit about off the air about the 60s. It was 68, 69, something like this. The Smothers Brothers, we had a show, a variety show. It was a big deal.
Very controversial.
And
but
they
good.
Were against the Vietnam War. And like on the air, they sang a peace song and said something. I mean, I don't remember. It's a long time ago. But I even used to watch the show as a little kid. And they were immediately removed. Same kind of deal. Other shoe was on the other foot at the time. So I'm like, to say that the FCC didn't stop, you know, step in. And my hunch is it was also because of a backlash from advertisers. Mm-hmm. To those stations and networks, if they liked the message and if they had big crowds and people are buying the stuff that they advertise, I don't think this happens.
But there should never be government pressure in these situations. And with Brendan Carson, whether or not that ended up playing the major role in pulling him from the air, even if the perception for me is there, that is inappropriate. And I would be losing my absolute blank if this happened on the other side, Keller. That's why I can't cross over and say, okay, and I know all the nuance here, and I think that Kimmel's disgusting, and again, I hope he never comes back. But I think that what we're doing here is we're ceding some of the high moral high ground that we had, because the culture issues were starting to come our way, and I
there
still think
go.
They are. This gives the left a narrative that I did not want to hand to them in the aftermath of this horrible assassination. Well, that's my main issue with
Bravo,
it.
Bravo, Mark Reardon.
Thank
Mark,
you.
Mark that tape.
Mark, this is not for you, but the American people absolutely disagree. I mean,
oh, I know. I'm in
Trump's
the minority here,
Trump's
but I have
approval.
To be. I have to be consistent with what I would do on the other side.
I'm just saying,
the Constitution,
as a political matter, the American people have figured this out. They're actually ahead of us on this. They realize again that there's a serious sickness in the Democrat Party. We're seeing that laid bare.
But I don't disagree with any of that. I'm just
Donald
talking
Trump's,
about the FCC getting involved here. That's the only part that I have an issue with.
So we're agreed. Let's get rid of the FCC.
Okay. Probably fine, too. I mean, look, we have a license here because we're on the public airwaves. And there are people who are listening right now that can take issue with what we say. They can write a letter to the FCC when our license is up for removal or, you know, for approval or renewal. Then, you know, the FCC takes that into consideration and community standards and things that people said. But here's the thing. So I grew up, we're all old enough, maybe not Keller. I grew up in radio in the 1980s. With the Fairness Doctrine, all right? Now, liberals have threatened to bring the Fairness Doctrine back. That's when you had to, you know, give equal time to both sides, and right. there were laws that were regulating that. So in the last 10 years, 15 years, certainly when Obama was president, the left has talked about bringing back the Fairness Doctrine. This is actually maybe a good example of what the Fairness Doctrine would allow, because we have both sides on here, but it forces people to make programming decisions that certainly would go counter to what their audience is interested in. I think that's an awful idea, bringing back the Fairness Doctrine. I think what we're doing now is still an awful idea, getting involved from the federal level, making threats because of content. And by the way, even though I'm no fan of Jimmy Kimmel, what he said on Monday is not nearly as egregious as a lot of people that have said things publicly in public positions. So I think what he said was ridiculous. He's an idiot, okay? And he's not funny, Steve. That's the thing. And what's happened with Kimmel over the last, certainly the last decade, is that he feels like he can get on his soapbox with no repercussions whatsoever. Look, there are consequences for the things that you say.
They
and that's what he's experiencing.
They gave him an out. They said, all you need to do is go back on the air
and he wouldn't do it
and apologize for knowingly
and he was gonna double down.
Blood libel lies.
Right.
And he refused to do so.
It wasn't about Charlie Kirk. It was about what, you know, conservatives were, you know, out there saying about the actual murderer. And so I'm like,
which turned out to be true. And he was lying knowingly.
I disagree with that. And two, that's not the first time that a talk show host has gotten facts wrong. I mean, this was not like dancing on this guy's grave. Some of this stuff that these other people have said has been horrific. Like, oh, he asked for it. He deserved it. All that nonsense. That was not even close to that. And that's why I'm like, okay, they're going to overplay their hand again. And it's just... the silencing on either side is wrong. Mark, I agree with you 1,000,000%, and I never say that, but I agree with you 1,000,000% when you say keep the government out of it or we don't have a First Amendment anymore.
And it's free speech for everyone.
And it can be speech that nobody likes.
Well, someone could come in down the line if I still have a job. And, you know, if you flip this around, you could say that what some of us say on, you know, conservative talk radio, which we have been targeted over the years, that you're not allowed to say that. So I think that in order to keep things sort of consistent, that we should keep the FCC threats and the government threats out of the whole
equation.
Episode, because I think that the public reaction would be completely different if this FCC angle didn't take off. Now, whether this plays a bigger role in what the American people feel about our political situation, I don't know, because again, with a lot of these things, I still think it's somewhat inside baseball. We pay attention. Our listeners pay attention to all this. The everyday American that's taking their kids to the soccer games this weekend, I don't know how much they're dialed into the whole Kimmel controversy and what they know about it. It's hard to gauge.
I would say very little. I think that is pretty easy to gauge. Very little is probably that answer.
I agree with that. I think they're totally dialed in to the reaction of the online left to the Charlie Kirk murder.
All right, hang tight. We got much more of the Reardon Roundtable still.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come. Hey, it's a Reardon Roundtable on a Friday. Greg Keller is here, GOP consultant, state rep Steve Butts, who's running for the state Senate, and our friend Jane Duker is going to hang in the next hour. So there was a ceremonial measure introduced by Speaker Johnson in D.C. today that condemned the murder of Charlie Kirk and praised him as a courageous American patriot who boldly lived out his faith with conviction, courage, and compassion. And it passed overwhelmingly, 310-58. There were a lot of Democrats that voted for this, Greg. There were a fair amount who did not, of course. 58 Democrats opposed the resolution. But, you know, there was a similar resolution. What the hell happened in St. Louis County? I was a little confused by this earlier this week because Dennis Hancock, who's a Republican, who's running for county executive, he was the lone Republican who did not support that proposal. Does anyone have any idea? That seemed odd to me. I should have texted you, Dennis, if you're listening, but I didn't really understand it.
Well, I think what the county council is attempting to do, which I agree with 1,000% because it's bipartisan, is they're trying to get out of the culture wars. They're not doing Gaza. They're not doing Palestine. They're not doing Charlie Kirk. we don't need to have local government. This has nothing to do with local government.
Well, I kind of agree with you on that. Is that why did you know?
Yes.
Is that why Dennis voted against
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think they thought we're going, because you know what? That's the stuff that Lisa Clancy.
Well, Tashara would do that,
yeah,
right.
That, you know, and Megan Green is getting ready for another Gaza resolution. And it's just like, stop. Nobody cares about your opinion. You're a local government. Just do your job and keep the culture war.
Well, that's
out
one
of
thing
it.
I like about Kara so far is that we kind of expected that.
She's not
doing all this stuff. You know, she's hyper focused on the city, which is what her job is, right?
Busy trying to run the city and
right.
recover from the tornado, which we did get good news about, by the way.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, I mean, it was simply a commemoration saying that Charlie Kirk was a good American husband, father, leader of the conservative movement, and we should commemorate the fact that he was brutally murdered, you know, on live television. That's a bridge too far for Democrats. I do love hearing Jane talk about some sort of return to political, cultural normalcy when Lisa Clancy took the opportunity at that hearing to spread mendacious and disgusting lies about Charlie Kirk, what, 2 or 3 days after he was murdered in front of his children?
I'm not defending her.
Well, I think you
Jane's
just
no
did.
Fan
I
th- of Lisa Clancy,
I, no, I think
though.
You just did. I think you just said that
no.
Lisa Clancy is part of wanting to turn the page on this culture,
she's
on this political culture, but you're siding with her on this. You
no,
agree with her.
The council.
I said
you
the
agree
council
with her.
As a whole, and there was a Republican who is a good Republican, and he's a nice guy. Well, and there's no way that he's going to be like, you know, being nasty to some poor kid that was murdered. No, I do not defend. Lisa is part of the problem. Her and Scam. Love to just let's do a resolution that doesn't mean anything just to make people take votes. That's what this. It's all a big gotcha game. And I'm glad that they're finally getting tired of it. I hope the Board of Aldermen takes the same tack.
All right. Well, let's get to some other issues here this afternoon. You mentioned something about the tornado. Was there more tornado relief money that got approved?
Yeah, there was. So just yesterday was good news. I mean, Mayor Spencer talked about it a little bit. I was at a neighborhood meeting on the Hill last night with Jane.
Yes.
Yeah, more federal dollars coming.
Megan Green actually took credit for it.
And yeah, it was a little strange.
Yeah,
she overplayed her hand.
Thank you,
but
thank
that
you,
being
Mayor
said,
Spencer.
Thanking, you know, but anyway, Senator Schmidt certainly played a part in
yes.
this, along with Governor Kehoe. So
good.
More federal dollars. We've got to match it with some more state and local dollars.
25%.
What's going to be different is, I think, the FEMA type organization is not going to direct the debris removal from private property. It's going to be at the state level.
They just give them money for the match.
Out. Right. Exactly. We got
okay.
a match. So it's good news.
Who
it
wants to explain news. MapGate a week after the special session wraps and they pass some new legislative districts?
Well,
was there an oopsie involved here with the MapGate?
There is an oopsie.
Has some explaining to do.
I was there. Yeah, that's right. Lucy,
you have some explaining to
so,
do.
So, I mean, Mark, here's what happened. You know, we talked last week and I was there in Jeff City and I know Jane was and many others. So we get called back to a special session for two reasons, but let's just talk about the map is to redraw this map, make it more 7-1, you know, blah, 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 carve up Kansas City, really ridiculous mid-decade kind of thing. I just think it's ridiculous to move the goalposts. Okay, let's say tough, because we, as the legislature and the Republican caucus, were presented with this map. No debate, no looking at it. You're just going to see the map. You're going to vote the map. You're going to like the map, and if you don't, vote no. So all the Democrats voted no, and even some Republicans, including the Speaker of the House, voted no on this map. I can tell you this. 3 years ago when we voted on the map, for weeks and months, actually, there were hours and hours and hours and hours of hearings down to the minutia of where any precinct would be down to the corner. That didn't happen this time. And as it turns out, there is a precinct in the Kansas City area that has, I think, 811 votes, but don't count me on this, but a precinct that is both in CD4 and Congressional District 5.
Okay, so you can't have that.
That's
major
the oopsie.
And it's going to be part of the lawsuit, I think.
What's
this
the
is
fix
be.
On that, though? Is there something that can
yeah,
be
the
fixed?
Courts can throw it out, and this map doesn't exist, and we just keep
start
right
over.
Where we were. Start all over if you want to hurry up and bring us back. I guess that would be the only fix. The governor seems to have released a statement saying, you know, no oopsie here, no
all
big
fine.
Deal.
Yeah.
All good, but
well,
it's
why couldn't
not
he call you back?
Good.
Why couldn't he just call you back
he
and
could.
Then just fix that
he
issue?
Could.
He could.
Greg,
I mean,
any thoughts
yeah,
on that?
I mean, newsflash: Democrats want to live in a consequence-free world.
There's consequences.
This is
here.
And it's a direct reaction to what you guys did in Illinois. It's a direct reaction to what you guys did.
Not at all.
To what you guys did.
This was
in New York. New York did the same thing. This is a direct reaction to the same kind of strong-arm tactics you guys have been doing. We simply are using your own tactics against you, and you guys are losing your minds over it. We told you not to do this at the time that you did it, and you did it anyway.
You know,
and now you're getting your just desserts.
You know that the Republicans, the map we're currently
living under. Who drew the map in California?
No,
a bipartisan commission?
No, give me a break. Your party drew this map, decided on a 5-2 split, and now you don't like it anymore because Trump told you.
Exactly. We're doing the exact same thing that you guys did.
That is not true.
Yes, it is. You did it in Illinois. You did it in New York. You did it in California.
After a census, there's a big difference.
They did the same thing in New York. Kathy Hochul did the same thing in New York. Look at the New York map.
Okay. You don't get to punish Missourians.
How many northeastern states are there that got 45% Donald Trump vote and have zero members of Congress? It's the entire Northeast.
But, let's bring it back to Missouri, Keller. Okay, all that some of that might be true, and I'm uncomfortable. You guys know this. I'm not a big fan of redoing this thing every couple of years. But on the mistake that was made, what's the fix there?
There has to be
a fix, right?
Listen, we can go ahead and we can get all red in the face, and I know that I'm doing that. The fact of the matter is,
which I always love, that's why you get invited.
This is an overwhelmingly red state, largely by virtue of the fact that, to my earlier point, your party has lost its mind. This is a deep red state. It is going to be represented by deep red conservative Republicans. The governor, if he needs to do this, is going to call them back, and you guys are going to lose. And that's just your lot in life for the next generation. And I'm sorry about that, but you guys are just going to lose.
Well, they should have done it after the census, and people did want. There were a lot of people that were in the Freedom Caucus that wanted
a 7-1 map or whatever. And
not a lot. Look at the vote. It was 25 Republicans wanted a 7-1 vote.
But it was discussed. It was debated.
It was debated, and it was discussed. And that was appropriate.
Yeah. No, you can't put whatever you think went on in Illinois, California. I don't care.
None of that counts.
You don't get to punish Missourians.
I recognize you guys don't want to live by your own rules.
Set the record straight. All this started with Trump telling Texas, find me 5 more Republican votes.
Yep.
Then California said, we don't want to do it. We're going to try to find 5 more Democrat votes, which gets it to Missouri. Find me 1 more vote.
Here's what I know. This would not have happened if Trump didn't want it to happen in
Kehoe.
Correct.
It's the emperor in charge, and that's what he wanted.
Well, because you guys were so courageous about standing up to communist Barack Obama when he was president.
Was not a communist.
He was totally a communist, and
absolutely
he still is.
Not.
And by the way, his comments of this week were disgusting gaslighting.
Hang on. We got one more segment to go. Keller bringing the fire. I knew he would. We're coming back. Hey, it's a Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon. Jane Duker is here, State Rep Steve Butts, Greg Keller, GOP consultant. I just happened to open up the old local paper here, STL Today. You guys see this story about Six Flags?
I know. Don't even tell me.
We all went to Six Flags as kids, right? I love the old Glory Theater.
I was there the first day.
You were there Thursday of this week?
No, the first day. My kids were there last week.
Wait, you were there the first day it opened, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
well, you're old. I get that.
They had a special day where they let all the contractors and all the. So I was like 5 years old, and I had to get a hat. I had to go to one of the stores there and get a hat that made me tall enough so I could be on.
Really?
So I could go on.
Okay, well, but the story today is that Six Flags and the rival that they'd had for a long time, Cedar Fair, merged to create Six Flags Entertainment Corporation. They operate 42 amusement parks and water parks in 17 different states. They announced planned closures of a Maryland park in Six Flags, California's Great America. There's a Great America Six Flags that's north of Chicago as well. But there's questions about whether this Six Flags in St. Louis will remain open because the quote in this story is they are under this enormous mountain of debt. I mean, that's a part of St. Louis that we've had for our entire lives.
Yeah.
So I don't know what ends up happening here.
Now,
they did say
they were putting money into it, contrary to some of the other parks. And they would have to get an offer in order to get rid of it. I mean, they'd have to get an offer good enough to justify dumping it, and that's probably not on the horizon, but they have put in new rides, so I'm hoping.
It's been a while since I've been
that
out
means.
There.
But yeah, no, I'm going for Fright Fest. I can guarantee you, I love Fright Fest, and my kids, they're adults, and they love it. And now you can get a season pass. Not only do you get the rest of this season, you get all next season for like $60. So, I mean, if you're going to do a season pass,
look at you.
Are
you like doing live reads for Six Flags?
No,
you're trying to save them from financial
ruin?
It's a
huge part of my childhood.
Okay.
I mean, I threw up in Tom's Twister.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
did
we all?
Exactly.
I did. I definitely did do that.
That I wouldn't do it again, but no. I mean, you know, no. But yeah, I mean, no, that, I don't know. It's a big deal. I would be devastated if we lost Six Flags. Yeah.
Well, so, let's hope that it doesn't happen.
For sure. My wife, Angie, she brings the grandkids. The grandpa doesn't show up much, but no. Many families. It's a part of St. Louis region family's history.
It really is.
All right. So let's talk just as we wrap this up here, because it's the last homestand for the Cardinals. But obviously, the first half of the season, Steve, you're going tonight. The first half of the season, not too bad. I mean, we looked like we were in at least some, you know, competition for a wild card spot. Even at the beginning of July, the wheels kind of came off. They are now 5 games under 500. They're
right.
20 games behind the Milwaukee Brewers. And the Brewers have been this unbelievable story. They've won 3 in a row heading into this series. The Cubs have kind of, you know, tailed off a little bit, but certainly they're well above 500 at 88-65 headed to the wild card. Look, even the Reds are ahead of us right now. There's no chance, I don't think, at this point that we finish behind the Pirates in last place, but there is a chance that the Reds, you know, they're sitting in front of us right now, so we might be the fourth place team. We know that Mo's leaving. We have a new era, but look, Steve, you're going to see very few people in that stadium tonight and into this weekend, even though the Brewers are in town and it's a nice weekend. I don't have any hope that this team's going to be turned around within the next 2 years. It's going to take three years.
No, it is going to take time. And I know it was kind of sold that this was an on-ramp kind of year. And I go to 10 or 12 games. I'm not a fair weather fan, but a winning team certainly brings out more people, and our city greatly depends on a successful Cardinals franchise. It's just part of our success and our very fiber. I would say specifically what has gone wrong. Yeah, I think Mozeliak stuck around probably 1 year too many, maybe two, but the team that Milwaukee has built, that's sort of like what the Cardinals used to do.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
If you look up and down that team, there's not a lot of free agent superstars you couldn't name.
Right.
Right.
I mean, unless you're a big time fan, but it's homegrown talent that they grew up through their farm system. So where we've lost that mojo, specifically this year, though, man, it came down to starting pitching and a couple
the
of
basics.
Our future superstars, though, you know, like Walker. They've just not
well. They've underperformed.
Performed.
There's no doubt about it.
They
so
haven't
I, you know,
performed.
I don't know what you do, because look, you're going to have to at the very least throw the fans a little bit of a bone over the offseason and say, hey, here's some hope, right? Because we're getting to the point where next year I feel might be worse than this year.
I mean, finishing behind the Reds is like the penultimate indignity. Hopefully,
it
we
is
don't
indignity.
We don't finish behind the Buccos, which
That's
would
not
be
happen.
Which would be the absolute, you know, height of it. What concerns me is, like, we've had a lot of bad years, as every sports franchise does. I remember the 90s, living through the 90s as a Cardinals fan was brutal. But we could always hang our hat on the farm system and on this franchise's ability to recognize and develop young talent. And we have lost that, too. And that's what makes me maybe the most pessimistic about this franchise going forward, is that our farm system is one of the poorest in all of Major League Baseball.
There's some good prospects, but man, Athletic did that story, I think it was the Athletic a year ago, it was right around this time, they spelled it out. Teams like the Brewers and the Cubs and maybe even Cincinnati, they were staffed much more appropriately to develop that young talent. The Cardinals were very understaffed and they kind of cheaped out in that area, and I think they ended up paying for it a little bit. Keller, great to see you.
Thank you.
And your hair, of course.
And
Steve,
the hair.
Enjoy the game tonight, and thank you for the trip to Columbia last weekend. We had a great time at the game. It was fun. Jane, you're going to hang out, right?
I'm hanging out.
All right,
baby.
We're coming back with more. We got Sue's News with Ethan this afternoon after 4 o'clock.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.